You're listening to a production of the Center for Emerging Media. We hope you'll consider making a donation to us to help us continue to bring you these podcasts. Just go to our website and click on Donate. I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome to another Center for Emerging Media podcast. We are going to tackle an issue that seems to battle itself around our state legislature and actually state legislatures all across the country, from California to Rhode Island, Connecticut, lately really seriously in Michigan and other places. And the question is credits for the film industry. Should there be tax credits and other credits for film industry to come into your state, our state, at this point we're talking about Maryland, for incentives to make their films here? Texas is in a great battle with Louisiana. California might be giving up the battle and letting the nation take over. Michigan just passed laws that give the kind of greatest incentives in the nation to bring movie industries to Michigan. Should Maryland be in that mix? Are we in the mix? Does it help us in the long run? Or is this just something that really helps people who make multi-millions of dollars on their films? We're going to talk about that with our two friends here on this podcast. We have Sheldon Laskin, who is with us. And before this even hit the airwaves, he started to email me about these ideas, and we've been talking about them back and forth. He's an adjunct professor of state and local tax policy in the graduate tax program at the University of Baltimore Law School. Sheldon, welcome. Good to see you. Good to have you here.
Good morning.
Jack Gerbus is with us as well, and he is director of the State of Maryland's Film Office. And Jack, good to see you again as well.
Nice to see you, Mark.
So let's look at this. I mean, we hear a lot about the tax incentives that the state of Maryland should give to attract film to Baltimore, to Maryland.
To Maryland.
Excuse me. And we know there was a big hullabaloo made about the film Annapolis that Disney made that was, instead of being made here, was made in the supersized state of Pennsylvania, up in Philadelphia. And that states find themselves in these battles. So let's talk about, from your perspective, just very briefly, from Jack Gerbus's perspective, the film office, why you think it is so critical, and what you see, what do you see you want the state of Maryland to do? And I'd like to then from here from Sheldon Laskin about what the problem is, and we have some very more pointed questions. But why don't you start us off, Jack?
Well, at one time, film productions used to come to Maryland because of our crew base, diverse locations, and also the infrastructure, the film infrastructure.
What do you mean by film infrastructure?
The businesses that are used to dealing with the film industry, the various governmental agencies that know how to streamline permits to get it done. Our office used to be very proactive. It still is very proactive. So all those factors used to attract a lot of production into Maryland. What happened as a little history back in the early 70s, then really in the 90s, Canada used to steal a lot of production from the United States.
Right.
And
when their dollar was weak and our dollar was
weak,
strong.
Right. Labor was a little bit cheaper, but there was the Canadian incentives, and then the various provinces would put incentives on top of it. Then 2001, 2002, the United States, first ones out of the box were Louisiana and New Mexico, started to say, wait a minute, we don't want to lose this production. This is a great industry. This is the second cleanest industry next to semiconductors in the U.S. We want them to bring their money to our states. So that's what started the ball rolling in the United States.
Very quickly, I just want to, before I turn to Sheldon, what is it you want? What is it the film office wants? Because you've already lost. I mean, you lost your office in L.A. They shut that down, which was what a big piece of the governor took that out of the budget. Someone took it out of the budget. I forget who it was.
And, well, what we need is to be competitive, you know, with the Pennsylvanias, with the Massachusetts. Right now, we're...
How do you become competitive from your perspective?
To increase either the funding in our incentive program or establishing a new incentive.
An incentive means what?
There's three main ways of incentivizing. There's a transferable tax credit is one. There's a refundable tax credit, or there's a rebate. Our present program is a rebate. And producers love our program because it's clean. It's easy. They know how much money they will be getting back once they've already spent their millions of dollars here in the state.
And Sheldon, when we have people say we have a base here of a film crew, people that make up part of the industry, that we have these diverse locations that it brings money to the state. But you seem pretty adamant in the emails that I've gotten from you that this is a false economy for the state of Maryland.
Right. Let me start by saying the Maryland program, the rebate program, as currently structured, while there's some theoretical problems with giving incentives to one segment of an industry and not another segment of an industry. As a practical matter, the program is currently structured probably does realize some net economic benefit to the state of Maryland. But that's precisely because it's a very limited program. It's capped. There's only $4 million a year in the budget. And any one production can't get more than $2 million in rebates or 50% of wages, whichever is left. But the pressure, of course, is to make Maryland's program more like other states' programs, which are either a refundable tax credit or even more a transferable tax credit. Refundable tax credit, because production companies don't make money. They're a cost center for Hollywood. They're not a profit center. Allowing a tax credit would never result in a benefit to the production company because they pay no taxes. So the credit is refundable, which means at the end of the day, the state writes a check to the production company for whatever credit they're entitled to. A transferable credit, in Connecticut has a transferable credit. The production company can actually sell the credit to another company. And clearly, the company they're going to sell it to is the affiliated distribution company, which is, hopefully, the profit center. So in Connecticut, in effect, these credits are actually subsidized, reducing the taxable income of the profit part of the industry. There have been a couple of studies to try to tie down whether the states that offer these broader credits realize any net economic benefits. And those studies have tended to show that there's no empirical evidence that they yield a net benefit. In Massachusetts, for an example, Massachusetts Department of Revenue recently completed a study estimating that between 2006 and 2008, Massachusetts will forego tax revenue of anywhere between $138 and $239 million because of its 25% refundable tax credit. And further concluded that there's no evidence that the credits would yield a net economic benefit to the state in excess of those amounts.
What the credits are going to yield to Massachusetts, though, in the past 2 years, they've had $545 million in direct spend into the state. Presently, there are two
separate... From the film industry,
From the film industry, right. And just a little history. Massachusetts used to almost be a pariah in the film industry. There's a lot of labor issues at one time up there. Also, what's happening, private sector investment, there are two separate entities that are developing sound stages up there totaling $500 million.
Who's paying for that?
Separate. Both companies are coming out of California. ISG is one, and I can't think of the other one. What's also happened, their crew base has doubled. So the local tax base has doubled. The Massachusetts Department of Labor has started initiating a training program to train people in the industry. Massachusetts is promoting, through their universities, education programs because they don't want the great minds, you know, the film students to leave. Presently in Maryland, they may be leaving to go to the New York or the LAs. Also, production personnel who left Massachusetts at one time because of the bad reputation that Massachusetts have, they're starting to move back now. So, and businesses are starting to move in. In the one studio that ISG is building, they're anticipating that they'll have probably about 100 ancillary businesses tied into their soundstage complex, and they'll employ probably 1,500 to 2,000 people. That would be in the vendors, the suppliers, prop houses, electric grip, camera, that sort of thing.
Let me get to some bottom lines here. I mean, I've always gone back and forth on this issue a lot because I personally, just to throw it out there, have been tied to some film and acting stuff a lot in my life. So I have this kind of visceral reaction saying we need more this stuff for actors and people who are involved in entertainment industry to have jobs here in the state of Maryland. On the other hand, I get pulled in the other direction because I get tired of seeing state governments build stadiums for very wealthy baseball teams and football teams, and the citizens getting very little out of it. So the question I have here, where's the balance? I mean, are we just funding a glamorous industry that makes it seem as if we're really getting some from the buck, or are we really doing something to build an infrastructure industry? We have no sound stages left in Baltimore, Maryland. They're gone. The last one's closed on Cold Spring Lane. I mean, we don't have anything like that that gives people permanent work. And a lot of that work, by the way, Jack, I remember came from the advertising industry, which used to be huge in Baltimore, which is also gone now for the most part. There were national agencies here on Charles Street that don't exist anymore. So the question is, are we propping up a dead industry and giving money to the wealthy, or are we really doing something for the state? Why don't you start and come back to Sheldon?
Well, I think the misnomer that we're propping up a glamorous industry, because this money, these rebates, does not go and have a producer buy another Maserati in Malibu. What this does, this goes into the pockets of local grips, electric, carpenters, vendors, Maryland vendors. Step Up 2, which Disney shot here about a year and a half ago, was released on DVD last week. They did business with 419 Maryland vendors. These are anything from a hotel to the florist on the corner. There's a company up in Timonium, Bond Lumber Company, third-generation family-owned company. They're trying to compete with the the box stores, the Home Depots and the Lowe's or whatever. About 35% of their business comes from the film industry. So to say that it's propping up a glamorous industry, the money stays here. And the money is not like a stadium where you build a stadium and then hopefully they will come. The rebate programs, this money is given out after the money has been spent and after the money has trickled down into the economy. There was a Louisiana study that said for every dollar that was spent, and then they estimated with leakage and the return, it generated $2.25 into the economy.
So why is this a bad deal for us if it's doing what Jack Rivers is describing, well, and building jobs for grips and putting people to work in lumber yards, etc.?
Well, there's no question the wall of film production is in town. It creates jobs and it has a ripple effect on the economy because of the vendors that they supply goods to. What it doesn't do, it doesn't create permanent jobs in the economy. Every year, it's a question, how many movies are we going to draw this year? There are only so many movies that are going to be made in any one place in any one year. And it also raises issues of equity. There are other very similar situated segments of the entertainment industry that also create jobs and also have a spillover effect on the broader economy. For example, plays, the production of plays in Maryland. Center Stage alone, their 2008-2009 season, Center Stage has scheduled 6 plays, which will run for a total of 204 days. That's just Center Stage. There's also the Hippodrome, there's Everyman, there's Olney, all the other professional theaters in Maryland, concert halls, sports stadium, and all of these places employ very similar professional workers, as does the film industry, carpenters, sound and light technicians, lighting specialists. Those segments of the industry are not subsidized. Now, Center Stage is the state's theater of Maryland, but the private theaters and concert halls and sports stadia are not subsidized. So it raises a question of why are we preferring one segment of an industry to another to another very similar segment of the industry of an industry.
But, and if Jack Urbis.
The Hippodrome or Center Stage, perhaps, because I've talked to the business agent for the local IATSE, which handles stage work. IATSE is the International Alliance of Stage and Theatrical Employees.
Right.
They do all the stage work, and they are also the professional technicians behind the camera. The grips, the electrics, the carpenters, hair, makeup,
Dolly
camera,
people.
Whatever.
Right.
Exactly. And he said the number that would be on a play pales in comparison to the number that would be on a feature film, certainly. Also, a feature film, they would prep for anywhere from 8 to 12 weeks while they're here getting prepared for the film. They will shoot anywhere from 30 to 65 days, and then they will wrap out another perhaps 30 days. So we're talking about employment from 4 to potentially 8 months.
This is my bottom line here. Here's a question. I have the two bottom lines. If the state invests $8 million, whatever the number is, in tax incentives or rebates to companies to come in and shoot their films in the state of Maryland, and we're competing against huge states like Pennsylvania, which have a lot more territory to shoot in than we do, but to come to Maryland and shoot, then what's the bottom line for the citizens of Maryland? What do we really get out of it? Are we really, in the long run, getting an economic benefit from this, A? B, or are we really losing money in the deal? I mean, I think that's the bottom line for the citizens of Maryland. Are we making money or are we losing money? Is it really bringing in X amount of jobs so that X number of people have salary for a year? Because I know, let me just, as a digression, I know the people like Grips, I mean, they make a lot of money on a set. So you can do two or three films a year and actually live. So the question is, are we actually building an industry here or not? I mean, so let's get to the bottom lines for the state of Maryland.
Well, actually, in regards to film wages, assuming that a person is working on two or three shows a year, the average salary for a film worker is $70,000, which is about 80% higher than the national average for employment. Now, that's assuming that's what's happening in states like Massachusetts, Pennsylvania.
And how many people are we talking about? So I'm going to get to the bottom. What are we? Who's getting helped here? How much are we getting helped, or are we losing? Is what I'm going to get.
This may put it in focus. In the past 3 years that we've had our rebate program or production rebate program, we have paid out $14.8 million. Okay.
The state of Maryland.
State of Maryland. Yes. Right. The economic impact, the return was $193 million.
And how do you judge that?
That is from wages, expenditures, when they receive funds for us to issue them a rebate check.
And I'll come right back to you, Jack. So, Sheldon, let me turn to you for a minute. So, those numbers sound good to me and to the people listening to this podcast.
And as I said, the issue is not so much with the way the program is currently structured. It's that Maryland is under increasing pressure because of the way other states structure their program to change the structure in ways which will make it much less clear that there would be a net economic benefit.
What is that? What do you mean by that?
Okay, let me give you some examples. Michigan currently, well, let me start out with Maryland. Maryland currently pays up to 25% of production costs in the form of a rebate.
Right.
And it's capped at lesser of 50% of qualified employee wages or $2 million, and the annual budget is limited to $4 million. Michigan pays up to 42% of production costs in the form of a refundable tax credit, which means there really is no cap. Janet Lockwood, the director of the Michigan Film Office, estimates that will cost the state $70.3 million this year, this 1 year, which is making even some proponents of increasing the credits in Michigan nervous because they're not sure that the net economic benefit to the state is going to exceed that.
What I'm asking you, though, is let's take it back to Maryland because I think people who look – everything I've read leading up to this conversation – says that Michigan is on the extreme end.
Very much
actually,
so.
It isn't.
Very much so, yeah.
Is the extreme end of what's going on?
It isn't. Connecticut is. Connecticut this year offers up to 50% in a transferable tax credit, which is one of those credits that they can sell to their distribution company, which is where the profit is. And as of January of 2012, unless the statute is amended, that's going to go up to 100% of production costs. Now, if a state is offering up to 100% of production costs, where does Maryland go then? 150%?
Well, actually, Sheldon, when I heard you say that the other day, I was a bit surprised and perplexed. And so I called George Norfleet. He's the administrator of the Connecticut Fund. He's a former producer, and now he administers the Connecticut Fund. And I asked him that question, and he said that is indeed not the case. What the program, what the statute does read is they didn't have an infrastructure there. So presently, certain out-of-state expenditures, they are rebating 100%. In the year 2009, I think it is, they will cut that back to 50%. And in 2012, if you're bringing an out-of-state, say Panavision, doesn't have an office in Connecticut. If you bring Panavision in from New York, they will, in 2012, 0%. So what they are doing, in fact, is decreasing the amount of expenditures that they are qualifying. So they're not increasing their...
Actually, the way it'll work in 2012, you're right, they won't pay for costs that are incurred outside of the state of Connecticut. But if they're incurred inside the state of Connecticut, they get reimbursed 100%. I have the statute here.
That was news to the film commissioner in Connecticut.
They want the company to incur those expenses, obviously, in Connecticut. They're not going to subsidize costs that are going elsewhere. But if they're incurred in Connecticut, they pay up to 100%.
But the question I have, so bottom line for the state of Maryland, where do we go? And I'm still trying to get to the bottom line here. Who does this benefit? In other words, if there are arguments to be made that the federal government, let's say, for example, should build the infrastructure for the internet and all of our digital necessities in America, to build a digital highway that then entrepreneurial spirits in America can take advantage of and create an industry. Okay, so there's a government investment, but you get something out of a government investment. So the question is, if we are investing in attracting the film industry into Maryland, are we getting a bang for our buck, yes or no? And how much should we be spending to get money back in, and then where do we start losing and not winning? That's what I really want to get to the bottom line here.
Well, we in those numbers, 14 equating to $193 million, and also during the course of those 3 years, there was over 2,000 jobs, over 12,000 actors and extras were hired. And this is the big one that people forget about. Over 3,900 Maryland vendors, goods or services were purchased or rented from these vendors. So there's a whole ancillary cottage industry that supplies to this industry. So these businesses are growing. There was a study in New York where the film and television industry, they're type 2 employment, and I'm not an economist and I'm not an accountant, but I was reading up on this, where for every 100 jobs, it means an additional 210 jobs in support services in New York out of the industry. So what's happening in a lot of these states, not only are you generating net new income, new money is coming from the state into the state from out of state.
So I just wanted to add to what does the state of Maryland want and what does Jack Gerbus and you want for the film industry in the state of Maryland, and where do we meet, Sheldon, the bottom line? I mean, where does it – at what point do we not – is this bad for us, and what's our bottom line here? That's what I'm trying to get to. Do you want to get?
Well, it's very difficult to answer that question in the abstract. The problem is that the states, in setting the amounts of these credits, are not doing that kind of analysis. Instead, they're competing with each other to see who can offer more, without tying it to, well, okay, what's the bottom line? What are we going to get in return? If a state goes to 100%. And I have my doubts whether they'll actually do that.
And again, I must say that the way the statute is written, according to the Connected Film Commission, that is not the intention. It would be 100% of certain expenditures, not 100% of all the money spent in the state.
The way I read it is if it's spent in Connecticut, they'll reimburse. But
he said he would love to have that because he would be the busy. He actually didn't want that because he'd be busy. But so that is not the case. It is at 30% and will remain at 30%.
Frankly, I doubt they'll actually do that because I think cooler heads will prevail. But if you go to 100%, how does a state like Maryland compete with that? What would I like to see in Maryland? It seems to me that right now what the industry is asking the state to do is to be an investor. They're asking the state to take on some of the risks, the costs that are ordinarily borne in a private enterprise system by the investors. And in the first instance, it's those out-of-state investors that pocket these rebates if the movie makes money. And this was actually suggested by a caller on the show that Jack and I were on the other day, but I think it's eminently sensible. Give the state a piece of the action. Typically, outside of the film industry, when the state offers an incentive to lure a company to locate a permanent plant in Maryland, the state does so in the expectation that down the road, the state's actually going to share in the profit in the form of tax revenues as well as permanent jobs. Well, why not do the same for the film film credits? Why not condition these film credits on a provision that if the production makes money and if the state has provided incentives to the production, that the state gets a percentage of the net in return, limited to whatever percentage is agreed to, 1%, whatever, the lower of that net return or 100% of the film incentives, and put it right back into the film incentive fund to use for further movies. If the state's going to be a partner on the downside, why shouldn't the state be a partner on the upside?
Well, again, the misnomer that the money is going to some rich producer who's taken away. The money that we give them or any state gives them is spent on production costs, which is spent in the state. In regards to that, yes, there is a program. Louisiana and New Mexico have two programs that coincide with their incentive program where they do invest in certain independent films. And then they will be first out, they're first in and first out in regards to an investment. The state right now, we've been working with the staff at Department of Business Economic Development to do something like that with a smaller company. It'll be direct to DVD, but what we will guarantee is that they will guarantee 5 productions over the course of the next year and a half, 2 years. Smaller productions, but it'll still keep our crews working because our crews are leaving.
They are leaving. I mean, I know a lot of people who work crews and they're actually going to D.C.
Not D.C., but Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New Mexico.
To do their work.
Right, right.
so they can make a living as grips. But what's wrong with Sheldon's idea? Close this out. I mean, the idea of a state saying, okay, we're going to give you tax rates, we're going to give you rebates, we're going to give you this. And in negotiation with that, we get a half a point on the end product that you made in our state.
Well, the problem would be that they would say, well, I can go to 40 other states and I don't have to give up any back end. So basically, you're going to cost me more money, you know, in the end. And so in the competitive field that it is, why would they want to do that?
So bottom line here, we'll end up here this. Bottom line, give us your scenario about where you both believe the state should go. You're forming legislation for this coming session. You want the state to do something, one way or the other. Wrap it up, Sheldon, then wrap it up, Jack Gerbers. Sheldon Laskin, then Jack Gerbers. What do you want the state to do come January?
Okay, first of all, the states need to have a dialogue among themselves as to where they want to go with this. Because otherwise, all they're doing is competing to see who's going to give away more money. And ask these questions about what, you know, this is a part of our economy, but it's only a part of our economy. How much do we want to spend in return for what to grow this part of the economy? And can the states reach some kind of an agreement that they're not going to fight each other to give away money? They'll come up they ought to try to come up with some kind of set of uniform guidelines that will determine how film incentives should be governed. The states have done this before. On the corporate income tax, there's a statute called the Uniform Division of Income for Tax Purposes Act. It's a uniform statute that most states have either enacted or have enacted a variant of it. As these things tend to be over the course of years, uniform statutes tend to become less uniform, but still generally income is divided among the states according to certain agreed upon parameters. The states can do that, and then they can talk to the industry as equals, and perhaps then jointly they can get a piece of the action.
Well, I mean, I cannot see New Mexico, who's they've $1.5 billion in the past 6 years, saying, gosh, we are making so much money. We've increased our tax base. We're just doing too good. Let's cut this back and let Maryland have a piece, and let everybody have a piece, and it'll be kumbaya for filming. I think that cuts against the free enterprise and business competitive nature of it. What I would like to see is, now I know Maryland, I mean, we have, you know, the past couple of years have been, you know, fiscally, it's been a very, very tough situation. We've been educating legislators about what this industry can bring, how it's grown the tax base, how it's grown private sector development in other states. And our hope is that somehow we can grow our program so we don't lose our crew base. We don't lose the businesses that a lot of them are closing up because the business is not here. Because again, it attracts out-of-state investment. It creates high-wage jobs and diverse opportunities too. And it stimulates tourism. That's another thing we didn't even talk about that follows suit. And then it contributes to the vitality of the community.
So what are you saying, bottom line, you want the state to do this coming?
Well, we would love to, you know, we're investigating programs, but I would love to personally see it increase. But I understand certainly that there are, you know, a lot of priorities in the state, and we're going to, you know, try to educate and do the best we can to remain competitive.
Jack Gerbers and Sheldon Laskin, it's been great to have you both for this podcast. And I'm going to let everybody who's listening to this to stay at our website, centerforemergingmedia.org, and look at all the links we have to all the articles about this debate. And it's going to be a debate in the state legislative session coming up, and you can be first to understand what's going on. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
We were contacted by Sheldon Laskin after the podcast was recorded. He wanted to set the record straight and acknowledge that he was mistaken regarding the Connecticut statute. The Connecticut Transferable Film Tax Credit is equal to 30% of eligible production costs. As of January 1st, 2009, only 50% of costs incurred out of state can be counted for purposes of computing the credit. And in 2012, no out-of-state costs are counted. In both cases, 100% of the in-state costs are included in the base. the podcast. This podcast was produced by Jessica Phillips and Justin Levy. We're engineered in studio by Liz Buckle. Thanks to Clean Cuts Music and Sound Design for studio space. Stay here at our website, www.centerforemergingmedia.org. Let us know what you think about this podcast and search around our website and see the other things we have here for you and read more about this particular subject. And from the Center for Emerging Media, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care. Keep listening.